to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Oh, good morning, my people. How are you? I'm so happy to be here this morning. What a genius song that Leah Morris is genius talking about, like looking inside. That's really where all the answers are, aren't there? And Reggie, what a beautiful, beautiful meditation talking about being in the present moment with our breath. That's where life is, right? So as I was contemplating the idea of curiosity and that spiritual imperative to be curious, I came across a couple things, but I also was thinking about how being curious allows and encourages faith. And in the unknown, you know, being able to take the step, even though I don't know where the path is going. So as I was preparing for this talk, I came across this writing from Ernest Holmes' book, This Thing Called You. It just took my breath away. Seek to make your work a prayer, your believing an act, your living an art. It is then that the object of your faith will be made visible to you. It is then that you shall kiss the lips of your desire. What would it be like if we were to make work a prayer? Not the 9 to 5. I'm talking about the work of life, the entirety of our living each day. What if every act of this thing called me was a testimony to believing? What is it to live life as an art? As we talked about our new minister, a little concerned my dog is going to make a lot of noise, so yikes, she wasn't behaving very well. But hopefully she'll be nice and quiet for us, but she's here with us too. When our new minister came a couple weeks ago to visit, I got to take him on a tour of Columbia, because y'all know that I really, really love this place. And as we were in the car, we were talking about living our lives as showing God a good time. Right, Rafe? You remember that? Isn't that totally fabulous? So let's be curious about that. What does it mean to show God a good time? And what if all of life really is about kissing the lips of our desires? Curious? Well, let's explore. You know, we science of mind folks, we're a cerebral group. Give me a good think any day. And I think my thinking and reasoning skills are pretty outstanding, as I imagine most of us think ours our too. But I believe that that's not really all we're here to do, live in and through our conscious and unconscious thoughts. Have you ever heard that quote attributed to lots of people, from Christiane Northrop to Mike Tyson, about the mind being a dangerous place and don't go in there alone? Anyone have any of those experiences where rumination takes you nowhere and nowhere quickly? I do. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. Well, let's look at how easily it is to manipulate that part of our mind. So let's do an experiment. I'd like you to take a moment and center yourself and think about a polar bear. Get a really good picture of that polar bear with its white fur, moving around on an iceberg. Maybe it's got some babies around. Maybe it's just lounging out like those pictures that we see sometimes of polar bears. You got it? Okay, relish in that for a moment. Take a nice deep breath and come back with me. Okay, how many of you took that suggestion? I know I even saw a polar bear in my mind too. Okay, well, let's try that again. I invite you to go inside and center yourself. Feel your breath. And I invite you to think of anything in the world except a polar bear. Now, how is that? Come on back. I imagine if you're like me, all you could think about was a polar bear. So let's go back to our question about showing God a good time. That is not really it, is it? That working of just the thinking mind. It takes work to stay focused on something, and it's really, really hard. And it often doesn't even work, as we saw with our not thinking about a polar bear. Oh, that changing mind. So what do we have with us so that we don't go in there alone? If you know me or spent any time in conversation with me, you know I spend a lot of time thinking about the definitions of words and how we use words to mean many, 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 many different things. Our philosophy is called the science of mind. But in our culture, we use mind as a synonym for thinking, for brain, for cognition. We just proved that the thinking mind is very creative, for sure. We could all think of a polar bear. But it's also quite susceptible to suggestion. The creative mind must be thinking, but it's also so much more. We have these individualized bodies full of feelings and sensations, which are also part of the mind in science of mind. So I want to circle back to that curiosity, that spiritual imperative of showing God a good time, and especially kissing the lips of desire. Are we showing God a good time? What if we decided that that was our raison d'être, our reason for being? What if we took the notion that desire is magnificent and the spark of all creativity? After all is God. So those desires that bubble up are God. I love how Holmes talks about kissing the lips of desire because it's so physical. It's so important to remember, to internalize, and to know that it is the body, this being that is the individualized God, godding in this lifetime. We have these divine bodies with all the sensations, and we have the experience of faith. Then it is with the confidence that we know God is expressing in me, as me, and the God is me. You know, all of that is true, and we are experiencing a world with a lot going on. I do often talk about that. That is just the truth as well. There is so much going on at any given moment. We're living in a world with deep, deep divides. Many of us continue to look around with confusion, fear, and exasperation. The violence we hear about every day is absolutely shocking, and sometimes it becomes numbing because it's just so much. We're living in a time where human rights are being legislated away, where we don't have enough room for the actual garbage that we create, and oftentimes we see despair everywhere. Just like the polar bear example, our thinking minds can get into a thought loop, thinking and worrying about these same things over and over and over. This isn't really God having a good time, is it? Except that it kind of is. Because God isn't a person. You know, we're socialized in this culture for thousands of years to think of God as a deity, a being up there. But God isn't a divine being. God is a divine process. God is an energy. God is a power. And we can use it for good. We know this. We say this all the time. But do we really believe it? Here's another fabulous quote that I love. Out there in the vast reaches of outer space, and here in the equally vast reaches of our inner space, everything is in order. Our task is to begin to understand that the universal mind is resident everywhere. And also of necessity within us. Our prayer is that the truth be made known, that it cannot fail to be revealed. So I want to just do a little thought experiment with us and take a desire and a prayer of my own. I have a deep down desire for love. I desire to feel love, to express love, to receive love. I can think I am love and believe it until I turn on the news or until I read the newspaper or, you know, my personal favorite doom scrolling pit of doom is Twitter. I can get lost in that Twitterverse. And all of a sudden, I've white polar bear'd myself into thinking of a world as a scary place, and myself, and you all too, as pawns in this existential battle going on somewhere in heaven and hell. And whatever understanding I have of myself as divine is poof, it's just evaporated. And then I start looking for all the evidence all over the place that love is lacking. I hope I'm the only one who does this and not everybody else, but my hunch is that this is pretty common. That person, you know, they had a tone in their voice when they talked to me. They must not love me anymore. I made a mistake at work. Oh my God, I'm a totally unworthy jerk. There's disease, disorder. There's this giant balloon flying over the United States, or I guess not really anymore. Fear, fear, fear. But if I take that desire for love and seek to make it my prayer, then I take that word, that desire of love, and I feel it. I feel it in my body. This is when Reggie was talking about that breath, taking that breath, this moment. Our breath connects us to this moment. So in this moment, I can feel love in my body. I begin to notice the sensations. And this is paying attention to our bodies. My heart feels a little fluttery. My shoulders relax. I may feel a giddy feeling in my stomach. The ever-present now is where we experience. It is where God is experiencing itself as God. And I get it. This is a huge mind trip. We are very socialized to think about the past and the future, and it's hard to stay right here. It's a mind trip for sure. But stay with me. This is where the creation and the creative impulse is. This is where God is. If I desire love, and I've taken that time in meditation and contemplation to feel what love feels like, when I notice in my life that I'm not feeling love or experiencing love, I can take things back, and I can do things that take me back to those experiences of love. Here are some of my spiritual practices. So I put on music that I love and move my body maybe, or the spiritual practice of singing. I don't know if anybody else is a in the car singer like me, but boy, is that a beautiful spiritual practice for me. I can do something that just physically feels good, whether it's exercise or whether, you know, just doing something in my body that feels good. I touch my hair or rub my hands, and it gets me centered back into my body and reminds me, oh, that sensation of love is what it is. That is where I want to be living from. And those kinds of sensations, those physical actions, can interrupt those perseverating thoughts. I can call a friend. I can have a practitioner session. I can do anonymous acts of good. I can tell people I love them. I can pray. So as I'm going through my life, nurturing the desire for love and noticing love and noticing the sensations of love, and then, and this is key too, appreciating any little signs of love. And then all of a sudden, a jerk cuts me off in traffic, or I hear bad news, or I have a hard day at work. These things don't totally derail me. It's then that I begin to discover that it actually is possible to experience both great love and being in the moment, moving through things that are more difficult. That is true. That's not duality. It's a yes and. Yes and. And then gratitude and reflection, they become natural outpourings of life, which makes the real expectation of love in my life even stronger. And this is living in prayer and living as prayer. And you know, it's from that stance that we are showing God a good time, no matter what the conditions are. I'm going to say that again because that's really important. It is from that stance that we're showing God a good time, no matter what the conditions are in our lives or outside of us. And quite honestly, it's from that stance from which we can change the conditions of our world for good. That's what there is. There is a power in this universe and we can use it for good. That's how you do it. So seek to make your work a prayer, your believing an act, your living an art. It is then that the object of your faith will be made visible to you. It is then that you shall kiss the lips of your desire. Let's know that we breathe in and out in this moment that we have, this moment in time. I will invite you to join me in this desire, in this prayer for love. Knowing that God is all there is. And we are one with that God. And I know love. I don't just know it in my mind, in my thinking mind. I'm taking a moment right here and right now to experience the sensations in my body of love. Ask yourself what you're noticing, because that is God. And it is from this operation of God that great gratitude comes, that perception of life as good comes. And we release this because it can only be good with great things. This is a divine community on a journey of even further development into life and love and gratitude and joy and making a bigger footprint, so to speak, on our communities. What an exciting time to be here, and what an exciting time to hold on to that idea of curiosity. What is next? And what is next can only be good, better, best, because it's coming from the soil of absolute love. It is with great love and great joy and peace that I say to you, and so it is.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.